This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 175 of View to a Kill from 1985. And we're continuing the watch through for Roger Moore, and this is the final movie out of his seven-movie arc as 007. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I am dying to talk about this because this is the final one, like we said, for Roger Moore putting on the suit and playing James Bond. So this is actually pretty fun. Nate never seen the film, so we're going to skip right over that. Let's get right to the Rotten Tomatoes scores and see what the critics and the audience have to say about A View to a Kill. Nate.
Well, looks like my main man, Roger Moore, went out with a little bit. Instead of a bang, he went out with a little bit of a thud because this has a 38%. A critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. Audiences were not far behind them, giving it a massive 40%. So it's not very high. Not a beloved final outing, but to be fair, so far, well, Craig, not as much, but Brosnan's last movie was his worst one, in my opinion. Moore's, maybe they just have a problem finishing these, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So far, none of the final ones have been like the best one for that actor. So maybe on par for kind of the Bond movies?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, 38, that's kind of, well, we're going to get into it with the movie. It is very low. It's very low for this type of movie where, we'll talk about it when we do the review.
We'll talk about it. But I think that I was surprised that it was that low when I went to get the scores.
I mean, once you said it, I was shocked. I was like, oh, I thought it was going to be a little bit higher, like in the 40s, but.
Same, 50 at least.
Yeah, well, I guess not. Well, we're going to find out if it's actually true. Is it 38 is going to be the lowest here? But with that said, let's get to the opening title sequence because I think it's one of the best songs besides Live and Let Die in the Roger Moore era. But Duran Duran with A View to a Kill. Neat.
Well, you set me up for this by telling me it was Duran Duran. I'm going to agree with you. It is definitely the second best song of any of the Roger Moore seven movies. I did like the Spy Who Loved Me song, but this one is better. It's very 80s. So if you like 80s music, this is, and really the next one with Dalton, the Aha song. I know you didn't love it, but I liked that one. This is like similar to that. Like it's very 80s, you know, band music. I dug the song. I liked it. I thought it was good. I liked Duran Duran. So, you know, that was an easy sell. So song, honestly, and here's the best part. Here's the best part, Alex. It was fast. It didn't give me another damn slow ballad song with here where he's underwater. Please don't put me to sleep before the movie starts. This was good. So I gave the song a 5. Credits. I think they gave up on the whole, honestly, with Roger Moore, they gave up on the whole, these credits are going to show you things in the movie. They don't. It's ladies, but they have like glow in the dark body paint. That first one who unzips her snow jacket and it says 007 right in between her chest. I mean, it's a little gratuitous, but it was kind of cool. It looked cool. it looked cool. And then they all have the little guns that shoot out lines. Just like shoot, you know, it was cool. It looked like an 80s music video, just like the last one looked like a music video. This one looked like a music video. However, the song was better, so it made it better. I'm going to give the credits a 4. So I'm going to give the whole thing a 4.5. I'll go right in the middle. 5 and a 4. 4.5 total. It was the best one since the first one, probably.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. I mean, the music is a spot on. I mean, I love listening to this sound, this song itself. Even when it's on the radio, I leave it on because it's really catchy. It's good. You know the words. It's A View to a Kill, but it's actually, it has like a cool Bond-esque, just like how it has Skyfall and Casino Royale with, what's his name? The singer from Soundgarden. Chris Cornell. You know the song when you hear it. This is the same thing. You go, wow. Like the movie, once the song is done, you're like, ooh, I want that. I want it again somewhere in the movie. And you do. You do get it throughout the movie. They play the melody through the orchestra version. And I was like, oh, I like that. Yeah. Every time he's about to meet the chick, they play The View to a Kill. And I was like, I like that. The video. I love the video. Very 80s. You're right. Yeah. It's very 80s. The women were hot. I was like, okay, this is cool. But one thing it did, it was a lot of fire because it showed a lot of fire, the heat. And I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. But one thing it does very well, it was way better than the other ones. And the only reason why I'm giving it a 5 across the board is because it was better than the last movie. It was better than Moonraker. It was way, you know, Yeah, The Spy Who Loved Me was pretty good. Live and Let Die was actually the best one between best video one and the music. But I think Duran Duran, it's really up. I think this is the second best in his entire catalog in terms of music. All right, so we gave it a 5. You gave it a 4.5. Now, let's get right into it. Lead character, Roger Moore, in his final role as James Bond. Nate.
All right, this is going to be out of respect. I'm just going to give him a 3. That's a respect 3, okay? He's older than ever in this one. He's creepier than ever in the first scene with the girl in the submarine that looks like a iceberg or whatever. It was weird. He's like, I'm going to shake this ship so you fall in this bed with me and unzip your jacket without asking you. It was a little creepy, but, you know, overall, he was a little less creepy than in the rest of them. But he just, you know, the action scenes are so more than ever, because they always kind of were, but more than ever, they're like stunt doubles. And it's like so obvious. I don't know. He seemed ready to go after this movie was over. You know what I mean? He seemed like a guy who was, you know, older, you know, did seven. This was a 7th time. And he seemed like he was ready to check out and hang up his, hang up his coat or whatever, you know, whatever James, his shoes, whatever his number one item of clothing is. he was ready to hang up his, you know, gadget belt or whatever. Yeah. So he didn't seem super enthused in it as much as some of the other ones. I'm going to give him a 3 for the, you know, he wasn't bad. He was better than he was in the last. I think I gave him a 2 in the last one. He was a little better in this. I still wish they gave him something to work with, like as a character. He really has nothing, no backstory, nothing in his personal. He doesn't have a personal life. Maybe that's what it is. You know, Daniel Craig, I always go back to him, but even Brosnan, like they had a personal life somewhat. Roger Moore has none. It's like he is a spy and he does whatever the mission is and then the movie ends.
Yeah.
So I wish there was something there to chew on a little bit. So I gave him a 3.
You know, it's funny. I gave him a 3 also. I felt like you're right. He knew this was it and you felt like he gave it his all. Like, I felt like, you know what? You felt like he was more happy. Like, it was weird to say, but you could see, like, his mannerisms were like, wow, like, this is my final one. I'm going to give it my all. Because the last movie, he didn't look like that. He felt like he didn't give a shit about the movie. He was just like, I'm doing this for a paycheck. This one looked like he was like, okay, this is my final one. I'm going to do the best that I can as 007 and just leave it on a high note. I liked him. Like I said, he was really good as Bond. I love his voice. I think he's going to be the best, like to me, the Bond with the best accent in the role. He had this unique accent to him. And I was like, okay, this is cool. His fighting stunk in this movie. It was not good at all. It was really not good. The females, again, felt weird. It's like a 60-year-old making out with these hot chicks. And I was like, this is not cool, man.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
I'm like, really, bro? Come
on. Yeah, I just felt like this Roger Moore, he should have been done after Moonraker, should have been his final movie. You could see it just, the age started to wear and tear on this character. And I could understand why the box office numbers or the ratings dropped, because it's like, yo, this dude is like 60. What year is he? How is he? And this one, you said 5 years later? He was 50-something.
No, it was like two or 3 years later. Oh, yeah, he's old. He's definitely in his late 50s, if anything.
Right? Like 58 to 59. He has to be. So, yeah, that's like, it's crazy to even think of that. But anyway, I gave him a 3. Again, he was a good Bond. After watching 7 movies, and it's really hard to rewatch these things, and then, because I enjoy all 25 films, but after rewatching, I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, what did I sit through? Yeah. This joint, it started to go, whoa, okay, Roger Moore's not that good. But it's not his fault. It was pretty much the producers allowed him to do 7 movies.
Yeah, and it's these scripts. You know, they decided to make these like really campy and goofy. That's not his fault.
No, it's not. So anyway, I gave him a 3. You gave him a 3 also.
3.
Main villain, Christopher Walkens.
Yeah.
As Zorn.
Just to touch base really quick on that. Remember, we are scoring Bond, not necessarily only Roger Moore. He did the role. Sometimes he was sleepier than others, but he acted fine. It's the way the character was written. All right, Zorn, Christopher Walken. Look, I was excited for this because you guys told me Christopher Walken was in it. And I said, oh, okay, I like Christopher Walken. But so this villain's main objective is he makes computer chips and he wants to become the number one computer chip salesman on Earth. So he wants to blow up Silicon Valley by making it look like an earthquake. That's the goal. I think we should always state, what's the main villain trying to do in this movie?
Yeah.
Is the premise, it's okay. it's okay for a Bond movie. Like, you know what I mean? It's better than like the Moonraker guy who wants to make perfect humans out of like, sending people to space. That was stupid. This, at least, whenever you're getting involved with big businesses and making money and corporate, it works. It works. He's not in it a lot, though. You know what I mean? No. Like, he pops up here and there. Grace Jones as Mayday, his like henchwoman.
Yeah.
She does way more work than he does. She picks that guy up over her head, which was hilarious. She just picks him up and holds him like Ultimate Warrior and then just puts him down. She makes that guy fall out of the blimp. That was hilarious. Like, she's really out here when they're fighting. They're doing like this crazy fighting and stuff. Christopher Walken's okay. I'm not going to score him very high. I'm going to go with the same as Roger Moore. I gave him a 3. I think his plan is okay. It's acceptable. Okay. But at the end of the day, he doesn't really get his hands dirty too much. And that old guy with the little monocle outlasts, like, he lives longer than him. He's the last bad guy to die with the dynamite. He's not even the last bad guy to die. You got to at least be the last one to go. You know what I mean? So I thought he was okay. Christopher Walken as an actor, he's fine. It's not like one of his best roles. The best part is when they're in the blimp, he's like, more power. When he's trying to get away and the rope is coming, he's like, more power. That made me laugh. So yeah, I give him a 3. He was fine.
Yeah, when it comes to Christian, I give him a 4. And the reason why is, I compared him to Moonraker. Was he a better villain as the dude from Moonraker? And I was like, yes. Does he get his hands dirty? Yes. He killed a guy in the office. He burned down the office. He shot up all those workers that put the bomb and do the tunnels. Like, he was an asshole. And I was like, you know what? Yeah. Okay, he was. In terms of his goal, it was okay. You know, it could have been better. But for the storyline, I just felt like this movie was a little too long for this type of story. I think they could have shut it down because it was 2 hours and 11 minutes. So they could have shrank it a little bit to like an hour 45, maybe, or hour 30. Sure. I felt like the banter between Bond and Max, because his name is Max Zorn, I thought it was good when they were on screen together. I was like, okay, Roger Moore is doing a pretty good job when he's like giving him like attitude right back. And I was like, okay, this is actually a cool banter between the two. In terms of the horse, because he sold horses with like steroids and he hits a button and it runs 10 times faster. And I was like, no one could pick that up like from nowhere. I was like, okay, it is also, what it
why
is.
Why is this even in this? It had nothing to do with anything. At the end of the movie, nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with it. So, again, I gave him a 4 for the fact that he did a lot of diabolical stuff. Even when he told the dude, if you don't want to be here, you don't have to be here. And the guy was like, all right, good. And he was like, you should go to get something to drink. And she slid around.
Give you a drink.
Yeah.
He slides him out of the blimp and his legs are rubber. It was so funny. Oh,
that was too crazy. Yeah. But look, again, I enjoyed it for what it was, for him, for what it was. So I gave, again, Grace Jones as Mayday. She was good. She was a good henchman.
Yeah, she was cool.
One thing Bond does very well, the henchmen, whether it's a female or not. This time, it was Grace Jones, and she was really good. So that I would say. I gave him a 4. You gave him a 3. Let's get to action sequence.
All right. The action was actually pretty good in this for the most part. Actually, I was surprised. I loved the cold open right up until the stupid Beach Boy song came on. Like, totally killed it. It was good. I was like, oh, shoot. Okay. This is last one. This is kind of intense. By the way, I guess it goes in overall. Oh, wait. This scene was good. Again, with skiing, which we've seen before, but there was only one part with the green screen. It was when he was on the snowmobile, and it was short. Yeah. Other than that, it was really cool. I enjoyed it until that song came on, and it just makes it into a... I don't know why these directors and producers were obsessed with making these corny all of a sudden. Like, you'd be like, oh, this is kind of... It was like they were scared to go full serious, so they had to add these dumb moments. But I liked the action in that scene. I thought it was good. I liked the car chase was cool until he was driving half a car. And then I was like, well, that car wouldn't even work anymore. It wouldn't even work as half a car, but whatever. It was good up until then. I like when he drove on top of the bus and it was cool. The part in the mines was cool. A lot of gunfire. It was fun. And the finale with the blimp, it was cool. You know what I mean? Like, it was suspenseful. There was people hanging from stuff. You know, we always talk about it. They do a good job with stunts in these movies. Oh, and the Eiffel Tower, the chase scene where the very a mysterious ninja woman who's clearly Grace Jones' character, but it's like a mystery. Yeah, and she has a fishing pole.
With, oh, I love that scene
with a butterfly hook on it. Yeah, she fish poles him on the Eiffel Tower. That was. It was fun. It was cool, but it was stupid. So they mix in these cool stuff with the stupid stuff. Anyway, overall, I thought the action was better in this than in the last one for me. I gave it a 4. I thought it was solid, and I thought it was well shot. I thought the action scenes were pretty fun, if not a little too goofy, but still overall fun.
You know, this is going to be a shocker. I gave the action a 2.
Wow.
Yeah.
We went totally opposite.
We went totally opposite, and I'm going to say why. And this is why I like shows like this, right? I agree with you. I was mad hype with the beginning of the movie. I say, yo, and I love one thing, 007 does very well are the snowboarding and the skiing. Yeah. And I get into it. I'm like, yo, this is mad fun. And this movie started it off. 003 was dead. He got the chain. And he's, oh my God, I found the chip. And then all of a sudden, they're like, and then all of a sudden it went to bam, down, 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 down. And the thing is, I was like, oh my God, I'm all up in it. And I was like, yeah, this is cool. My man loses his skis and he flips over a snowmobile and all of a sudden he's snowboarding. And I said, nope. I was like, it just, and I agree with you. It totally removed me from the hypeness. Like, I don't know. I never felt the movie like that before where I'm really into it. And all of a sudden when the music changed, it's like someone went, boom. And I was like, what? It was bad. And I was just like, that was horrible. Like, I felt like mad gypped. Like, if someone pulled, like, I was like, this is stupid. Like, this is really dumb. Now, don't get me wrong. The snowboarding scenes were really well done and executed. The music hurt that scene for me. So I was like, you know what? The beginning started off well. Then the Beach Boys came on and it was so stupid. But then Duran made up for it. Because when it went into the movie, so I was like, all right, this is cool. The car chase scene was okay. I enjoyed it. I thought it was very well done. But it wasn't like Bond-esque car chase. Mm-hmm. I just felt like they just threw a car chase to throw a car chase. You're right. Unless that car had front wheel drive, that shit just kept going. And I was like, what is this? And I started to sound like Nate because I was like, what is this? Screaming out of my TV. So, and I enjoy stuff like that because in the past movie, which was Octopussy, I enjoy that he drove the car sideways because it made sounds. All right, that's pretty cool. They're shooting another car and then he just kept going once it fits. This one, I was like, all right, they cut the damn thing in half and there's no way. This car does not have front wheel drive for it to continue going with no axle in the bottom. So I was the fight at the end, okay, on the top of that Golden State Bridge. I think I'm saying it right.
Golden Gate Bridge.
The Golden Gate Bridge. I was like, no way. I was like, okay. I was like, this is, and I'm not saying it because he was old. I felt like the choreograph was not good. Like, I was not into it. I felt like, okay, they're just like starting to wrap this shit up. Like, you know what? Because he was like, you go out there, you know, you fight him. And he went, huh? And then she hit him with a fire extinguisher, knocked him out, which I was like, okay. Then she jumps out and she's like, James. And then she throws, and I'm like, first of all, there was like no wind that high. Like, I was like, okay. Yeah. But again, I can't nitpick, it's 85. But I just felt like the fight scene in that situation wasn't as good. They were holding on to things. One has an axe swinging it. And I was just like, I don't know about this. Like, he used no gadgets in this movie.
None.
Like,
no, that's not true.
They used the
microphone finder.
Yeah, the debugging.
Whoop-de-doo. Yeah.
But other than that, there was like, I thought he was going to whip out like some type of gadget at the end to save him or something. Nope. I was like, this is kind of weak. And you're right. The guy with the old guy, who the hell would turn on a dynamite? Like, what would that do?
Oh, my God. Blow up the whole bridge? What? Like, what was a dynamite?
And it was so dumb.
It was like a stick. It was like multiple dynamite.
Dude, it was like those cowboy movies, like the cartoons. Like, you're
and he's a Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah. He's like, and I was like, why does he have 8 sticks of dynamite rolled into one and then points it at 007? Like, you know, he's going to do something to get rid of it. And I started laughing. I said, this is so dumb. And honestly, I didn't want to score this really low because I was like, this is his final movie. But I already got to be honest with myself. Just because I'm a big Bond fan doesn't mean that I'm going to score all these movies like super high. This action scenes did not do justice for me, and especially for Roger Moore. I think they could have did way better scenes with him. I did like the fight in the Paris when he jumped onto the elevator, got into the car and chased her. And I was like, that was pretty cool. But anyway, I gave it a 2. You gave it a 4 storyline.
Yeah. This is where we'll go opposite. Well, maybe not. But I'm taking the last one. The storyline, I only gave a 2. This is, Alex, I don't know what happened here. I don't know what they're thinking. But every single one of these movies, you said this one was too long. They're all too long. They're all too long. 1 or 2 out of the 7 flowed for the most part. I do think Live and Let Die flowed okay. Like, it moved from scene to scene to scene. I did think The Spy Who Loved Me, for the most part, moved from scene to scene. The other 5 are all too long. Because you got the horse scene. It has nothing to do in the grand scheme. I feel like in these type of movies, especially in the newer ones, and just in spy movies in general, like, everything leads to something else or is a reference to something that happened before. These Roger Moore Bond movies have so many parts that end up having nothing to do with anything, and they just take up time. Like, they just are things that are there to show him talking with people or meeting pretty women. That's essentially what they're there for. And that all goes to writing, and that's part of the story. So I thought, again, I thought the villain story, I was okay with it. You know, okay, business, right? We're talking big business. This guy wants these people to invest $100 million. They're going to make billions of dollars. This is the 80s. And they're kind of right as far as technology being the thing that was going to become the really, you know, big money maker. That was all good. But everything else, it's confusing. Like, then there's Russians, and this one's the Russian. And there's always the Russians. They always pop up. The KGB guys always pop up. The
same dude.
Yeah, the same guy every time. He's like the head of the KGB or whatever. and James Bond just does things that feel random and then shows up at the end against the main bad guy. And it's like, but what? Like, why? The scenes with Tanya Roberts when he's at her house. Too long. Like, he's making her a quiche. He's cooking her. You know, like, what is this? Yeah, like, she's like, the telephones. She's like, the box is outside of my window. They literally showed him go outside, fix the fuse box, go back inside, tuck her into bed. Like, all this stuff needs to get cut it out. So I honestly think there's about a 90-minute movie in this movie, and yet it's 2 hours and 11 minutes. And that all goes to the script and the storyline. I don't think it's great. I gave it a 2.
You know, I agree with you. On this one, I gave it a 2 also. I was not thrilled with it. I thought it was better than Moonraker. I was like, it's a better story than Moonraker. But it's just the length of the story is what hurt this movie. Yeah. Nothing against Roger Moore. Nothing against Christopher Walken's, Grace Jones. They all play the characters right to where they needed to be. I thought they were great. Just the storyline, the pacing was way off. And I agree with you. Every Bond movie has some stupid side plot that makes no damn sense. In the last movie, he was the damn young 20-year-old chick wanted to bang him. And he had to be a chaperone for no reason.
The skier
chick. Yeah. And then the guy with the pistachio eating.
Oh, yeah.
Remember him? Yeah. It was like, made no damn sense. And in this one, he had a friend in the CIA, the Japanese dude or the Chinese guy, and he had to meet with him. And then he got killed off screen because I was like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah, they're like, he got
killed off screen. Yeah, I was like, when did the hell that happen? Your friend died.
At least the Indian guy in the last movie got to die on screen. This guy was just like, he's dead.
Okay. I was shocked. I was like, how the hell did he die? They were like, your friend was found dead at a, you know, in the back of a car. I was like, what? I was like, this is so stupid. And again, it's lazy writing. And I feel bad. And I feel so bad because it's like he did 7 movies. And you're right. 2 out of the 7 is the best ones. I mean, there's two out of the 5. Yeah, the 5 1. Look, they're lukewarm. I'm not going to say they're super horrible. One is, and I always said Moonraker was horrible, but it's just bad. It's just sad.
It's just boring.
It's boring. Yeah, it's very boring. But yeah, I gave it a 2. You gave it a 2 overall.
Yeah, so overall, that's kind of my summation of the Roger Moore films. They're mostly boring. Are they well made? Yeah. You know, these movies had big budgets for the time and they made money. You know, they were successful. So it's not like, this is not like some B movie franchise that was like, they weren't putting money into it. And no, these have like the best effects for the time. They don't have like the big name directors, but they have skilled directors like behind the camera. They get good, mostly good casting. A lot of the Bond girls in the Roger Moore era were pretty trash, to be honest with you, in the sense of they really got bad actresses who are not really good at acting, but they're just boring. And this one in particular, I thought the action was okay. I thought I didn't hate it as much because, again, I like the villain's plans. This one had the best music. like the score was really good in this movie.
Yes, it was.
The score in the snowboard scenes was great until Beach Boys. It comes back throughout the movies, throughout the movie. And the Golden Gate Bridge, it has the same music. The music is really, really, really good. So I enjoyed that. You know, I try to find things to latch onto in a movie where I'm kind of like dozing off. So score was cool. Beautiful women. The locations were cool. You got Paris. You got San Francisco. You know, he's back in America for the second time, I think, in out of his movies. You got the horse, the mansion. There's always a mansion. You got that freaking that lady's house. That's just they're there for too long. But anyway, overall, I'm going to give Roger Moore a little pat on the tush and I'm going to give him a 3. I give the movie a 3. Overall, it was better than Moonraker. I liked it better than Octopussy. For me, I thought it was better. I don't think it was great. It was fine. Average. 3 out of 5. Generous 3 out of 5.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I gave this movie a 3 also. I gave it a 3 out of 5. I thought it was a good film. I don't think it was a horrible movie at all. Moonraker is still the worst in the bunch.
Yeah.
This was, is it watchable for me to rewatch again? If I get the 4K, I'll rewatch it again. But like years down the line, like it's not one of those I'll just pop up over and over. But it's still a good movie. And he did a great job. And that's all, it's all great. You have, again, if the storyline was shorter, I mean, the time was shorter, it would have been an excellent movie, to be honest with you. They had the pieces there. It's just, it was just stretched out way too long. Even when he did the whole thing, like, it reminded me of Austin Powers when he was in the masseuse thing with girl and she's trying to steal his cassette. That was straight. Austin Powers ripped that off.
She's in the hot tub.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. It was. It literally, there is a spoof of that exact scene.
Yeah. So I was just like, oh my God. I was like, why do they need this? And it was the creepy AKGB guy. He was like, he's like, play the tape. And then they put the tape and it wasn't
just music.
Yeah.
I like the music in that scene. They like got some good, you know, Tchaikovsky, which is cool. But.
Yeah. But, you know, overall, I just thought it was it should have been a way better movie. But Duran Duran helped it. Because, you know what? That song was throughout the whole movie. Like I said, it was in the score and it was well done. So I thought that was pretty cool. Again, I gave it a 3 and you gave it a 3 total points.
Total points for me is a 15 out of 25. I'll be honest with you. I'm glad we don't have to watch any more of these. Not even because I didn't even hate all of them. It's just watching them all in a row. They're kind of slow paced and boring. So I'm ready to move on to a new franchise. 15 out of 25 for Roger Moore's final outing as Bond.
Yeah, I gave it a 14 out of a 25. I was just 1 point lower than you. Still a good film. Anything higher than 15, I always say it's really a good film.
It's
watchable. I'm on the down there watchable crap area. That's what we're going to call it. 15 below is watchable crap. But anyway.
15 to 12. Anything below that, just to skip it.
Pretty much. But other than that, Nate, what is coming up next?
All right. So next up, coming through, we are coming to the last couple of our decades movies. So 2010s, a little movie called Dread from 2012 is when it came out. And then, of course, finally, a new franchise. But Alex, we got another task in front of us because there are 8 of these movies. So we're going from a 7 to an 8. But this is a big one. I think we're going to get some listeners because we're going to be coming a little Marvel, a little small character named Spider-Man.
So
we'll be doing the Tobys, the Andrews, the Toms, all of them. We're going to be doing all the Spider-Man franchise. So we did a DC earlier in the year with Superman. Now a Marvel. Next year we'll do the same, a DC and a Marvel. Marvel this year. I think we picked the two majors, right? Like Superman is the DC guy, like the most famous, and Spider-Man is the most famous Marvel guy. So I feel like we picked the two most famous ones, but next year we're doing better ones in my opinion. So we're going to be doing some Spider-Man. That's the next franchise that we got coming up.
Oh, I can't wait. I haven't seen those. I seen them when they did that whole No Way Home thing. So it's going to be pretty cool rewatching it. Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. Anyway, back to back to back, it's going to be really interesting watching it.
It'll be more fun than Roger Moore, I think.
You know? It will. No, it will. All right, guys, if you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks for the video versions of the podcast or go to our official website at www.geeksandflicks.com. You got merchandise there. You can get the Action Movie Guys t-shirt, Geeks and Flicks t-shirt, merchandise. And of course, you get this podcast simultaneous with the audio and video. And the more I continue putting up the videos, the more you get to see those pop up on the website. And of course, the schedules for all the upcoming episodes of the Action Movie Guys podcast exclusively there or on our Instagram at Geeks and Flicks. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. And that is
Nate from Nate Flicks Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.